Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Dun, dun. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. I got a taco in my mouth, and I'm supposed to be being professional, but that didn't happen. Listen, I'm sitting here for JTAK Money tonight. JT had to hear some things. He wants to cry in his spilled milk as he watches his Texans lose to the Indianapolis Colts tonight. So I understood. He made up an excuse. So I'm here to sit in, take notes, and do things that are supposed to be done for the cruise show. With me tonight, as always, is Jeff the Joker. And later on today, or tonight, we're going to have our other co-host, Mike Wright, a.k.a. the Bookie Monster, on. We're going to discuss Thursday Night Football's game, the Indianapolis Colts. Again, hosting, I believe they're hosting, the Texans. And this is a pretty good game. Plus, we're going to have an interview with our friend, Mr. Mike, yes, indeed, Reed, shortly before or after his boxing match in Atlantic City. Our guy, Mike Wright, went up there to see the fight. Mike Reed came out victorious. Then he gave us a few minutes of his time, so we're going to have that interview with you as well. And anything else under the sun? I would love to talk about a little bit of Major League Baseball as far as the playoffs go. Kansas City versus the Baltimore Orioles. First time in decades that one of these teams will be headed to the World Series, to talk about that. And whatever else my co-host, the Joker, wants to talk about. I'm corrected. It's in Houston, Texas. The game is in Houston, Texas. Let me bring in my co-host, Jeff the Joker. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, Vic?
Not too much. I had a taco in my mouth and kind of stumbled through that, but we made it through the intro. Let's just keep things here before we get to this game, because I know the game kicks off at 8:30 Eastern. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of sports. Adrian Peterson. He was arraigned. Well, not arraigned, but he had his day in court so far. And apparently he admitted to smoking weed a couple days ago. And now the district attorney wants to have his bond revoked. Adrian Peterson, is he done, period, in the NFL? And or is he done for this year? Plane. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Just I don't even know where to begin with this guy, because he abused his kid, and he was oblivious that he'd even done anything wrong. And then he's not helping his cause with the weed. I mean, it's legal in two states, but it's not legal in Texas where he is. And, that's usually part of the condition about being on bond or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't know firsthand, but, I watch a lot of crime shows. There's been a lot of negative things have come out about Peterson in recent weeks about, just his personal life and whatever. And his charity and so on, and he's not looking good right now.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, all of a sudden, this man that was a pillar in society in Minnesota and the face of the NFL for a season or two is now being vilified and seen as a sheep in wolf's clothing, so to speak. I like Adrian Peterson. Now, listen, we're going to disagree on this, Jeff. I understand what he did and why he did it. To the extent of what he did with his child, I don't agree with.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's a difference between hitting and beating. And he crossed the line, you know. And he's oblivious. He didn't even realize. I mean, I have his examined him. Those marks look pretty bad. He got a little carried away.
Yeah, and in his text, he says that to his the child's mother, and you know it doesn't look good for him on that front. But my questions are surrounding his future. Is he done in the NFL? And is he done in the NFL this year? So we'll take that first. Is he done in the NFL this year?
You know, he's probably done for the year. I mean, the thing is, you know, it's a fine line. I mean, I'm all for due process. So you say, you know, give this man his due process. But if he wasn't a football player, there's a good chance he'd be waiting in county for due process. And
exactly.
And then there's, you know, the public relations reasons and whatever. I mean, the thing is, if he was just some guy on the practice squad, they would have cut his butt immediately. Even if they want the Vikings and the NFL want to bring him back, they might be afraid, you know, at a public outrage or whatever. I mean, I think if he could make some kind of plea agreement in Texas, then he could work towards coming back next year. And, you know, ironically, shortly before he came out with these charges, he was talking about he wanted to play for the Cowboys. He might get his wish because they might not want him back in Minnesota.
Well, that's my thing. You know, AP is in a situation where it's his career on the line now. You know, he's 31, or he's 30, I can't remember which one, and he's in the window where people say, oh, no, time to move on. You know, I think he still has a couple more years, solid years ahead of him before he hits that, you know, it's time to move on. But will a team be too afraid, especially if this goes on into next year, to even bring him back because of the implications of having a child abuser, charity fraud, and all this other stuff? I mean, is this the moment where we say, okay, AP, you've had a great career, but it's time to hang it up?
Yeah, I don't think it'll end his career. But I think if he's going to play again, it'll probably be with another team. I mean, he probably only has a few years left if he's lucky. Imagine him behind that Dallas line with DeMarco Murray. I can't even imagine. Maybe Houston. Who knows?
Yeah, I think maybe Houston. But let's put it this way. DeMarco Murray just got a four-year contract extension, was offered a four-year contract extension, right? So if DeMarco Murray has that four-year contract position, they find a way to bring AP on, and they still have Dez Bryant and Romo and that offensive line, it is considered a monster of a team. I mean, let's fathom that for 1 second. How do you see Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, AP being the new triplets? How does that sound to you, Jeff?
I'm sorry. Something's going on outside. Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, how do you see the new triplets of AP, Dez Bryant, Tony Romo?
You know, it with the cap, it'd be tough, you know, because like I said, they got Murray, and I'll tell you, I'm so impressed with the running game and their offensive line. But then, you know, most of those linemen are young, playing in their first contracts. Once those contracts are up, then they're going to have to pay those guys. And this is, you know, the complicated world of NFL salary caps. So, I mean, probably Peterson would probably have to take a pay cut, but Dallas might not be able to fit him under the cap, even if they want him.
Well, if he goes to Houston, Houston's going to have to build something around him because Andre Johnson is ready to leave. Hopkins is pretty good, and the defense is excellent. It's just there's not that much on the offensive side of the ball to compliment him. He'll be just like he's in Minnesota, all over again, except in Texas. But let's move away from this topic. We'll table this for a later time. But I think Adrian Peterson's career, in my opinion, may be over. So all those, like myself, that have him in a keeper league, I don't know if I want to keep him for next year. I'm worried. Maybe when Mike Wright and somebody else jumps on, we'll ask that question. Or I'll leave that up to you to ponder right now, Jeff, for the end of the show, to give me advice.
I'd play it safe. I'd play it safe with a keeper.
So playing it safe is letting them go?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I respect your opinion, and that's why I asked. But speaking of respecting opinions and stuff like that, one of our favorites to come on to the show either on a Saturday or a Thursday is Mike Yes Indeed Reed. And recently, Yes Indeed went up to Atlantic City under his new boxing management and came out undefeated. So we had our correspondent, our bookie monster, Mike Wright, go up there to Atlantic City to check out the fight and get some words from Yes Indeed Reed. Here's what came out of that.
All right, we're here live in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Debut for Mike Yes Indeed Reed for Top Rank. Great fight out there. How did you feel out there tonight?
I felt good. You know, I give myself a B-, C+, and that's only because I felt like I got a little winning in the fight. You know, if I could have kept throwing bombs like I was in the beginning, you know, throughout the whole fight, I'm pretty sure I'd have got him out of there. But he had a real, real good chin.
Definitely a good chin. We saw the mouthpiece drop out of there a couple of times. So I know that kind of messed up the pace for you, but you kept your composure. You kept those body blows going. Tell us how you were stringing everything together.
You know, off the jab and the body work, he was a smaller opponent, so I knew, you know, I'm strong for junior welterweight. You know, I get in there with junior middleweights, you know, even middleweights, I'll get in there with, so I can hold my own with the 138 guy, you know, that's what he came in at. He came in at 138, and I came in at 139.8, so I was pretty light myself, but, you know, I'm feeling strong right now, so I felt like I did my thing.
All right, man, I came up with Team Reed on the bus, man. Hell of a bus ride. raucous fans. You travel well. I mean, the crowd definitely, every time you come out, the crowd definitely feels you, man. How is that feeling for you, knowing that you're on Top Rank right now, and they're saying this every fight when you come out?
You know, that's a big thing. You know, I think one of the special things about being a fighter is if you can be a draw. You know, because if you look at Brandon Rios, Mike Alvarado, you know, nobody wants to lose. But if you happen to take that L and you're a draw and you're fan-friendly, you know, I think I'm both of those. It won't set you back as much as it would, you know, a Timothy Bradley. Only because, you know, Timothy Bradley, it's kind of hard for him to be a draw. You know, even though he's a hell of a fighter, he's an excellent fighter, he's not really a draw. So a loss to Timothy Bradley won't be much of a... Well, a loss to Timothy Bradley, you know, it'll set him back a little further than would a Brandon Rios or Mike Alvarado.
Exactly. All right, what's next on the plans for Team Reed?
Actually, you know, we're going to try to go in November sometime. You know, we'll talk the Top Rank, you know, see if everything's a plan. But like I said, you know, before this fight, we was looking at sometime in November, and that's probably a little plan.
All right, very impressive performance. Definitely pleasure seeing you again, as always. We'll be out for the next fight again.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, that's Mike Yes Indeed Reed, live from Atlantic City.
All right, yeah, this Mike Reed, excuse me, not Mike Reed, our correspondent, Mike Wright, with Mike Reed. See, I got my mics mixed up, Jeff. but you know what? Reed has come on the show several times, and he's been a great supporter of the show. And I'm looking for my cut. That's all I'm saying. I'm looking for my cut. Todd Rank, holler at your boy. Anytime Mike comes on the show, he comes out victorious. Now, I'm telling you, this young man is very positive and impactful. I'm looking forward to one day sitting down and doing a face-to-face interview with him if he gives me that opportunity, mainly because he's a young guy that has a plan, and that plan includes finishing college, a professional boxer, and at the time taking full-time courses in college. You know, he wants to be an accountant. I think it was an accountant, if I'm not mistaken, because he was taking accounting. But that's very different from what a lot of professional boxers do. You know, they go Golden Gloves, straight to pros, and there's no other alternative for them. So I find that to be an extremely good thing for Mike Reed. Your thoughts real quick, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, you don't hear about that. I think traditionally boxers have come from the lower socioeconomic groups, and I think there's some boxing in college, but not much. But I'm looking it up right now. Many years ago, there was a short-term heavyweight champ who was a college graduate. I think it was might have been Bone Crusher Smith. And that was Bone Crusher Smith, short-term heavyweight champ, had a college degree, but that is fairly rare.
Wow. And I didn't think Bone Crusher was that intelligent. But let me, hey, that's me. I'm sorry. Don't hit me, Bone Crusher. You know, can't do that to me now. You're a little old and beat up. But anyway, sorry about that, Jeff. We got about 10 minutes before the start of the game, so let's jump right into that. And let's get some analysis of this Indianapolis Colts and Houston Texans team. I really, really like the fact that J.J. Watt is in serious contention for early consideration of league MVP. He's showing that he can be paid a great deal of money and still perform on the same level. That's something I really like. Unfortunately for him, I don't like his quarterback play out of Ryan Fitzpatrick. The team is limited, in my opinion. Romeo Crennel is, and remember, guys, they're doing this without Jadeveon Clowney. So just imagine how much more devastating J.J. Watt could be if Jadeveon, the first overall pick in this year's draft, was playing and healthy. I think it's amazing. Again, I'm not too impressed with their offense, but their defense is doing its job. They're running Arian Foster into the ground, to believe it or not. I don't think he'll make it through 8 games if he continues on this pace. But give me your thoughts, Jeff, on this team known as the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I agree about Watt. I wonder how the owner feels about a guy, you know, with that big of a contract playing on offense, because these guys can be very paranoid. And if, God forbid, he gets hurt playing tight end, it'll never happen again. You never know. But these Thursday night games have been horrible. At first they were saying it was usually the home team was demolishing the visiting team, but then the Giants dismantled the
we won't
Washington. So then now the theory is the Giants, you know, busted out because they had the more experienced coaching staff. I really I think Jay Gruden is going to be an excellent head coach. I mean, I've liked him since he was playing in the Arena League. And he's, he might not be an experienced head coach, but he's been coaching for a long time. His brother was a head coach and very successful. His father was a coach, and he might be a rookie NFL head coach, but believe me, if he wasn't sure how to prepare for a short week, he would try to find out. So everybody's trying to figure out why these Thursday night games have been so so lopsided, because most of the games on Sunday are pretty close. And I'll tell you, these Thursday night games can drive you crazy for fantasy, because, you know, 90% of the time, you know who you're going to start. But if it's a guy who's a sometime starter, then you got to make the decision 3 days early, and that could drive you nuts.
My phone froze up on me, Jeff. Sorry about that. Well, when you look at what Arian Foster said, that these Thursday night games are a hazard for the players' health. I mean, that might be somewhat true. I know I don't want to speak about this game, but I'll speak about it. The Redskins looked very sluggish in that game versus the Giants. And all the Thursday night games have been lopsided for whatever reason. Like, it's the home team or the visiting team, it's just been lopsided. One team comes out flat. And sticking with Houston, Mr. McNair, he gave J.J. a lot of money. He's given Jadeveon some money. He gave Arian Foster a lot of money. He's given Andre Johnson a lot of money. I love Andre Johnson to death. I wish that he could still perform on the same level that he was a couple years ago, but either they're not throwing the ball or whatever. But right now, to me, he's a flex option. If you have a better receiver to put in his place, I would. I guess they're just skewing younger, throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. So we talked about AP possibly going there. Can AP be that big of a difference over Arian Foster to make this team, the Houston Texans, a contender in its current state? I mean, I don't think so. I really don't think so, Jeff. I think that this team, the Houston Texans, whether it's Thursday night or Sunday, they're overachieving right now. They're in every game right now. But once they start to get beat up, week 9, week 10, we're going to start to see what they're really made of. And for the most part, I don't think a lot of them are that tough. I think J.J. Watt is, but not a lot of them. So what's your outlook for this Houston Texans team? They've already won three games, but do you think they can win any more?
Well, you know, you said it. I mean, Andre Johnson was probably the best receiver in football for a while, but those days are gone. You know, they have an average quarterback at best. You know, they have talent on defense besides Watt. If, you know, when Clowney comes back, they got Brian Cushing. I think it was last year he got busted for PEDs, and he's a Jersey boy. He's from Paramus, New Jersey. And, you know, when he was in high school, you know, he leaves in June, then he comes back in August for training camp, and he put on like 20 pounds of muscle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have any proof, but I heard things, and I was not surprised at all when he got busted for the PEDs. But,
bada bing.
You know,
bada bing.
Yeah. So that's the local perspective. But, you know, it's funny for, you know, I don't know, maybe Houston missed their window, because for a long time everybody was saying, oh, this is going to be the next big team, and I think they might have missed the window. You know, that's the way it works sometimes.
I strongly believe they did, and I recall calling this several years ago. When Peyton Manning left, right, when he left Indianapolis, and Matt Schaub and those guys were, you know, hot and competitive, I said that Houston has a 2-3 year window in order to win that division. I believe they won a division the year that Peyton came back from the injury, but he didn't play. You know, he had the surgery, but he just didn't play. He was still with the Colts, though. And that was the year that Houston won the division, but then lost to Baltimore in the divisional playoffs, I believe, and that was the Ravens Super Bowl year. And then I said, you know what, they're going to go downhill. I can't explain why I felt that way, other than I saw that Andrew Luck was just that good that he could will the Colts to a division title. And that's what he's done. And the window closed rather quickly on Houston. And it opened up rather widely and quickly for the Indianapolis Colts. So we're on the Colts now. Let's talk about the Colts. And it was an interesting thing. It was an interesting piece that was done. I can't remember. I think it was my man from the NFL Network, who's he's from Jersey. He's a Jersey writer or whatever. Oh, my goodness. But he pointed out that the Colts had all rookies a few years ago growing together, a rookie head coach, a rookie GM, a rookie quarterback. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me until he made the piece that he's right. So these guys are growing together. Chuck Pagano, Andrew Luck, and I forget the general manager's name, but it's first-time general manager. So they're growing together, and they're growing in a good way. They found T.Y. Hilton. You know, they kept Reggie Wayne around. They let Pierre Garçon go. Brought in Hakeem Nicks. Now, the trade for Trent Richardson, I can't say it's a bust just yet, but if after this year Richardson isn't a clear-cut number one, I'm going to have to call him a bust. I am. Because if you can't beat out Ahmad Bradshaw, a 31, 32-year-old injury-prone player for the starting job, something isn't right, in my opinion. But let's talk about these Colts. They lose Robert Mathis at the beginning of the year for PEDs, and then that was only for four games, but then he tears his ACL or his Achilles or something like that, and he's gone for the season. But yet the defense is still stout when it comes to defending the run and pressuring the quarterback. They've got Leron Landry, who just got popped for PEDs. Now, I remember Leron when he was with the Redskins. Just like you said, Jeff, you heard things, right? You heard things. I heard things, too, you know, when I was back in D.C. But he's gone. Antoine Bethea is gone. He's in San Francisco. And yet, the Colts' defense is still striving and growing. You know, I'm trying to figure this out. I want to figure it out. Tell me, what do you think this Indianapolis Colts team is going to do, and how they've developed over so quickly in the last 2 years? How do you think they've developed?
You know, I give them a lot of credit. You know, the thing is, you know, with the GM, the head coach, the quarterback, they got the right guys. And I'll take talent over experience. And they brought in – I mean, experience is good, don't get me wrong, but talent is more important. And, you know, some teams, you know, they keep recycling executives and coaches and sometimes players, and it doesn't always work out well. But, you know, they switched from one franchise quarterback to another, which is, you know, doesn't happen too often. And, you know, it's funny that the Colts now have a decent run defense because from playing fantasy for the longest time, you know, during the Peyton Manning era, they one of the few teams for, oh, I don't know, 10 years maybe, they had the worst run defense in the NFL. And anybody who played that was seldomly disappointed. I mean, I once started Ron Dane, who gashed them for like 150 yards and a couple of scores. I mean, it was insane.
Wow.
the joy of fantasy.
Well, you know, and I remember the reporter's name, Mark Kriegel, from NFL Network, but I believe he's a New York, New Jersey news reporter or newspaper reporter, pointed that out to me. And right now I'm looking at Dwayne Allen and Andrew Luck hook up for a first down. I go down their starting offense, right? They are young. Bradshaw is old. Wayne is old. Nix, he's not old, but he's a veteran. The offensive line is not that old, but it's pretty, you know, youthful. This team, as you said, was built right. What formula? I mean, we're not in the boardrooms, but what formula do you see the Colts going by? Because for years it was Polian. Polian had the formula to make Peyton look good and everything, but there was a flaw. He never drafted a decent backup quarterback behind Peyton Manning. But what did you see as a mechanism for greatness that this Colts team has?
Well, I know somebody who would like to take the credit for the owner, Irsay, who I think he was just allowed to return to the team. And, you know, before he got busted for the drugs, so many times I would see him on TV, and I swear he looked high as a kite. I thought that so many times. And, yeah, and I don't, you know, I'm not one of those people who says that all the time, but even now, whenever you see old video of him, and some of the things he would do, you know, like on Twitter and whatever, and I'm thinking, you know, this guy's a little off, you know. But who knows? Maybe despite that, he's an excellent owner. You know, it's hard to tell because, you know, you're not behind the scenes.
Well, on Twitter, I mean, you would think he was just a regular Joe Blow, not a billionaire. Some of the stuff he would put up, and he would reply to people. He would listen in. I promise you, I think he was listening to one of our shows back when the Andrew Luck and RG3 thing was going, who's going to be number one, because we did a skit with him and the general manager. And I lied to you not. The next day, the general manager put out a statement saying, there's no way we're going to not pick Andrew Luck at number one. So people can stop saying da da da. And I'm like, we were the only ones saying that Andrew Luck was not going to be the number one pick. I mean, I was saying it because I wanted to be a Redskin. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But Mr. Irsay, you know what? He does it right. He says, look, this is the type of player I want. Go find him. I'm not saying that Jerry Jones doesn't have a good formula because he's starting to listen to his people or his sons. He's starting to listen to them. But Irsay, he knows how to make things work for whatever reason. You know, as you said, franchise quarterback to franchise quarterback. Did they tank the end of that season so they could get the number one overall pick? It's debatable. Did he tell his coaches and everybody else? You know, did he tell Jim Caldwell, hey, I don't think we should really win or push the guys so hard on this game. Patriot week, let's just say. You know, there is no way to, you know, lock that down to yes, that's what he did. But I do believe that Mr. Irsay is a savvy, savvy businessman. With that being said, we talked about the two teams. The Colts have just scored a field goal to take a 3-0 lead with 11:13 left in the first quarter of tonight's game. Let's talk about this game, Jeff. We've seen, well, I don't know if you're watching the game, but we've seen a little penetration from the Houston Texans defensive line to stop Trent Richardson in the backfield for no gain on two occasions. T.Y. Hilton caught a long pass from Andrew Luck to put him in field goal range, but their running game is pretty much non-existent thus far. Prior to that, Houston won the toss, or they won the right to have the ball first. They went 3-0. How do you see this game going, and how can each team win?
That's tough. I'm not psychic. With all due respect to Fitzpatrick, I like Luck a lot. I like the Indianapolis coaches a lot, but you know, Bill O'Brien in Houston, he seems pretty sharp. So don't know how it's going to play out.
Okay, so if we've got, I think we've got Black on the line. I'm not sure if he's ready to come on or not. But I believe Black is on the line. I'll probably bring him up in a minute. But you like Houston a lot, but why, other than Andrew Luck? Break down the game. Why do you think Houston's going to win this game? I mean, Indianapolis is going to win this game.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a strong feeling, but, you know, they, you know, I don't know, and they can make adjustments. I know it's more of a game plan league than adjustment league, but I don't know. Whenever I see the Colts, you know, they I don't know, the offense impresses me. And I don't know, I think they got a little more than Houston. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, the onside kick.
Whoa, they scout that, and if the receiving team, if they cheat too much, then they'll do it, you know. So that was not random.
Well,
very
also,
well done.
Also, I think it's the formation that the Colts had. They split their people out wide, so the middle of the field was wide open for the kicker, because the guy on the front line for Houston was so spread out that all they had to do is kick the ball for 10 yards, and it's a first down. And that was Pat McAfee. So you know Pat McAfee is going to act the fool when he gets a chance. But let me bring in our bookie monster and see what he has to say. I'm not sure if he's able to talk or not, but if he replies, he'll say something. Talk to us, Black. Tell us what you think about both Houston and Indianapolis.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, Black, what's up?
Not much, man. Watching my man T.Y. Hilton putting in this work. Touchdown, Indianapolis Colts. Immediately as I call in, there's no way I'm rolling with Ryan Fitzpatrick in any game. The Colts will win this. They'll win probably by 2 or 3 touchdowns.
2 or 3 touchdowns? Well,
every Thursday night game has been a blowout.
Well, that's
every Thursday night
game. We talked about that. He might have been touched. I don't know. Might have been rubbed a little bit. But here's the question.
No rubs. That's a touchdown.
Okay. All right. So, tell me a little bit about, you know, these two teams. Tell me what you see happening with Houston in the foreseeable future, as well as the Indianapolis Colts. We believe Jeff and I, he did get touched. The heel touched the right knee of Jackson. But what do you see the outcome for these two teams during the year?
During the year? I got Indianapolis making a playoff run, and I have Houston going in the opposite direction. I cannot trust any team led by Fitzpatrick, man. He's a very smart guy, a very bright guy, but no, I can't say it was him. He'll have to go search for a quarterback next season. That should be their top priority.
Okay. So is Houston going to win more than 6 games this year?
More than 6? Not looking at that schedule. I don't know what the schedule is looking like. I give them 6, maybe 7 games.
Okay. All right. Well, we've talked about a few things already. We did the Mike Reed interview, so we want to thank you for going up to Atlantic City for that and going on the party bus, I guess it was. Tell us a little bit about that experience. And, you know, you had an opportunity to post a little video of it, so talk to us about it a little bit.
Oh, great experience, man. I mean, heads up to Team Reed, a lot of hospitality. They fed us on the bus, so we had good entertainment on the way up. We got to Atlantic City, which I say it doesn't quite look the same. I never saw so many places closed down up there, but, you know, it's still Atlantic City. We went to the Bally's Casino, hung out with a couple of fighters before their fights, got to see Tapia on the main event. It was a good overall experience. Mike, it looks extremely good. He put in six solid rounds of work and knocked the guy's mouthpiece out a couple of times. The guy, I mean, he had a solid chin, but he just had trouble holding on to his mouthpiece. So we'll see what's going on down the line in November with this next fight. But we also have a fight coming up November 1st with our other good friend of the show, Dusty Hernandez Harrison. As they'll be fighting back at home on the hometown takeover card at the Constitution Hall. And there's another couple of great fighters on that card. So anybody in the DMV area or you like to travel, come on out to D.C. November 1st. There's another great card being put in by our good friends over at All In Entertainment.
Okay. Now, my question to you, young man, is this. You were in New Jersey, New York area.
Yeah, I was supposed to hook up with the Master, but I think he probably was still better at the Cowboys beating his Texans. So he was a no-show, but it's all good. I'll catch him next time I'm in Atlantic City.
Well, you also got your other co-host right here on the line, the Joker. You could have had the Joker.
Well, I know he couldn't come out here, told him. He said he couldn't make it up.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't.
It's all right. It's okay. Trent Richardson scores a touchdown, and he's acting like it's the best thing since sliced bread. But he had a hole as wide as the Grand Canyon to run.
But for him, it is the best thing since sliced bread. It's,
huh. Yeah, yeah.
Bradshaw has a big hold on that side of the running back spot.
He does, and although I haven't seen him play yet, he does have a hold on it. And we were talking about if Richardson cannot beat out a 31, 32-year-old for that starting job, then I'm going to officially label him a bust at the end of the season. Now, here's the other thing, Mr. Bookie. Now, I know Jeff doesn't follow baseball too much, but I want to talk a little bit about the MLB. Now, I'll be love Nationals.
You're sticking the dagger in my heart right now, my friend.
No, I feel you because it hurts too. It hurts me too. But I'll be love it. Nationals didn't make it. It's going to be the Giants in St. Louis in the National League. We don't want to talk about that game. Just yet. I'll do that on Saturday. I want to talk about the Royals and the Orioles because, you know, I can play a little Lord because we were royal. We're living in the fantasy. This is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, if you did not know, that one of these teams since the 1980s will make it to the World Series. The first time. In 20-some-odd years, if not more. No, excuse me, it is more than 20 years because we did the 90s and now we're in 2014. So more than 20 years since one of these teams has made it to the World Series. Give me your perspective of what's going on down there in the DMV with Baltimore, you know, making it to ALCS. And your outlook on this series?
Well, I'm not too privy to what's going on with Baltimore. We had an attitude down here in the DMV all day, all night long, so we're kind of still reeling from the loss. I was surprised that our bats couldn't show up at this critical time in the postseason when we needed them. A lot of people have been calling in the local radio shows here and talking about the pitching and the coaching of what's our manager, Matt?
Matt, they're
doing something with Matt Wayne, trying to kill him about why he didn't put in Clippers and why he didn't put in Steinman. But which, at the end of the day, it wouldn't even have made too much sense because our bats didn't show up. I mean, as far as Bryce was there for every game, but our bats just went silent. So that's one thing that's bad there. But there's a lot of Orioles fans in the area that are very excited. I haven't seen too much of Kansas City this year, so I'll check them out in the series. But I'll back the O's for the meantime.
Okay. Here's a stat you guys can look into. The Orioles, only team in the major leagues that had the most – well, not the only team, but had the most home runs in the entire MLB. The Royals, the team that's had the least – amount of home runs in the MLB. So here's my question. Big James Shields is starting for Kansas City. I don't know if the Orioles have named their starting pitcher yet for this game. But do you think this is going to be a let's knock it out the park, Nelson Cruz, and even though Davis had the PED suspension, I believe he's back, if I'm not mistaken. Are the bats of Adam Jones, Nelson Cruz, and all the other guys going to outshine Kansas City? Seeing as though, in my opinion, Kansas City is where the Orioles were 3 or 4 years ago. They're an up-and-coming strong team, and nobody expects much of them. But they made it this far. So give me a little bit of feedback, fellas. Jeff, you tell me what you think too. I know you're not too much of a baseball guy, but tell me what you think about this series.
I'll tell you though, my personal opinion is when I heard that Kansas City and Pittsburgh made the postseason, that interested me because you know it had been 30 years for those franchises, give or take, and you know those were two of the better franchises when I was a kid and. You know, you feel bad for the fans. You know, it's hard to keep a fan base happy losing year after year after year. And I got the impression that Kansas City's a lot like St. Louis, that it's a very good baseball town. But you know, you got to win once in a while to keep the fans happy. So and you know they can't pay the big salaries. I know the Orioles haven't been winning, but at least they could afford to pay big salaries. So I like to root for the underdog. So that would be Kansas City, and St. Louis might be the best baseball city in America. So you know that those fans are very knowledgeable, very loyal. But San Francisco is also a very good baseball town. But baseball drives me crazy. I loved it as a kid, but the older I got, I lost a lot of interest. But, I like the fact that the Royals are in the mix.
I will retract that St. Louis fans comment right now with the stuff happening in Ferguson and how the fans were going after some of the protesters. That was crazy.
What, the Ferguson situation?
Yeah, the St. Louis baseball fans, you see they were protesting at the stadium?
No,
the
I
fans
didn't
were, see that. Yeah, the fans were and all type of racial epithets at the protesters. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it was fiasco. Just look that up, the St. Louis fans versus Ferguson protesters. You'll see that.
Wow, I had no idea.
Neither did I. Wow. Well, I was going to say, what if it's an all-Missouri World Series? Who would watch? But I don't know. I mean, with the young man dying in Ferguson from the accidental shooting by the police officer, recently, I'm talking about a young man was just killed. The cops were shooting at somebody else, and I think he killed him. I don't know what's going on in Ferguson, nor is Missouri a place I want to go right now, it sounds like. So anyway, with that being said, we've got about 10 minutes left of live air, and we've got a lot of great games on tap for this upcoming Sunday. But since I got my college man on the phone right now, let's talk a little college, Black.
The number one game this weekend, Auburn, Ohio State, Mississippi State. Definitely don't want to miss out.
Do you think Mississippi State has an actual chance of beating them?
Oh, they have an excellent chance of beating them.
Okay. Are you going to
I won't expound. I can't give out that information just yet. I'll probably do something. I'll do something on the Saturday show for you.
Oh, you know, bless me with some presents on Saturday. I know I gotta be live then. okay. Well, anyway, we've got the NBA coming up. We've got hockey coming up. Your boy Michael Beasley decides to leave the Grizzlies and take his talents to China. Talk to me a little bit about that. What do you know about that situation? And is he even worth the money the Chinese will pay him to play?
I mean, he's a good offensive talent if he has his head in the game. It's just you never know where his head is at any given time. But I wish him luck. I wish him luck out there in China.
Jeffrey, my dear, you've got your New York Knickerbockers and the Brooklyn Nets coming up here. Talk to me. What do you see the outlook on those two teams?
I don't care much for the Nets. The Knicks, I'm optimistic. I heard Derek Fisher wore a very nice suit the other night. So, there's a tradition of well-dressed Knick coaches. This goes back to before Pat Riley. They had a guy, Bob Hill, who is probably the best-dressed coach in the NBA at the time. He didn't win squat, but, I mean, he was shopping on Park Avenue. Even if they lose, you know, Fisher's going to look like a winner. And it should be interesting. And, I don't know, hopeful for the Knicks. You never know. Don't like the Nets much. Don't follow the Nets much, you know. They have a different owner, but, you know, the Nets have tried almost every gimmick except winning. I mean, they tried that gimmick for a little while, but they're just always a day late and a dollar short, and they're always going to, I don't say always, but most likely going to be just the number two NBA franchise in New York. And, well, it's just, I don't know, just the way it is.
All right, Mike Wright. How does our Wizards look coming into this season, and what's your outlook for them?
I got the Wizards. I'm going to go with Vegas here. Vegas has the over-under on Wizards for 50 wins, and I agree with Vegas. I got the over-under for 50 as well. You saw from that opening preseason game, but the Bulls, the Wizards are not taking any crap this year. I like the tough attitude they're employing that they're sending out this year. Nene and a couple of guys got suspended for the first regular season game because of the fight with Noah in the preseason. But I'm definitely liking the Wizards. I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing from Glenn Rice Jr. I like the addition of Paul Pierce. I have to reserve my comment on Otto Porter because I haven't seen enough yet, but hopefully he steps it up this season as well. But I definitely love the signings, Chris Humphries, DeJuan Blair. I'm loving the Wizards. Definitely loving the Wizards this year.
Okay. Keep me posted. You know, I gotta follow my teams. Now, with that being said, gentlemen, what was I going to say? Oh, man. I lost my train of thought. Well, we got about 5 minutes left live here. Let me do what I do because I do it all the time. Every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. We have the FSP Crew Show with Jeff, Black, and Jerry doing the things that you need done to you, which is informing you on the world of sports, preparing you for the Thursday night game. Then on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, It's me. It's me. It's Mr. SSP. Bringing it to you live and direct because I always command respect. Along with my co-host JT ATM Money, we provide the most information and entertainment known to man on the web when it comes to fantasy sports as well as the political side of sports. And maybe we'll throw in a couple of real politics in there. Bloomberg TV, a lawsuit is coming because you've stolen my property. The intellectual property is mine and mine alone. Well, I got to share it with Black, Jeff, and Jerry. But that's it. I'm not sharing it with nobody else. I'm suing. Then, on Sundays, you've got The Master Plan with Jerry, a.k.a. The Master Taylor, and Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 3 hours worth of information preparing you for Sunday's lineup. So give me your last start, your last minute starts and sits, who to look out for, and things of that nature. They're giving you their gems, so to speak. And they bring it to you live and direct. Always in front.
Is the master ever going to use his gems? I see he's pulling up the rear there in the palace.
Hey, he ain't by himself. I mean, I'm down there too. I ain't going to lie. But that's fitting the chains, as the country people say. I'm fitting the chains up. But anyway, with that being said, that's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right on blogtalkradio.com/GICHK. Then on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Lance NFL Explorer brings you The Extra Point, where he reviews all predictions that were made the day prior, gives his spin on what is coming up for Monday night, and gives you a little bit of insight into his world as to what he thinks is going to be a gem, so to speak, for the upcoming week. Then you're right back here on Thursdays with the Crew Show. I'm telling you, I've got some of the best guys in the business. We might be a little corny. We might be a little whatever. But we know our stuff and we have fun doing it. So with that being said, I want to yield my time to Jeff the Jokers. If he has anything he wants to add or put out there, then we're going to go to Mike Wright. What you got, Jeff?
Well, last weekend in college, Mississippi upset Bama, and I've been hearing for years about Mississippi's been doing some great recruiting, but you know, this is beating Bama is huge. Who knows, this could be the next superpower in the SEC. And closer to home, Rutgers won their first Big Ten game, beating Michigan, which isn't as impressive as it used to be, but it's a step in the right direction. And but I still think Rutgers is going to struggle a little bit in the Big Ten, maybe at Ohio State. I think they're playing Saturday.
Okay. Black, what you got?
Oh, man. This I'm sorry. I want to issue an apology to all my co-hosts. I'm beating them all this year in fantasy football. I thought I would lose the one, but maybe that would be in the playoffs. Hopefully not, but I still wish you guys good luck on your season. Man, this game, I think at halftime, you'll be able to cut this game off because it should be about 30 to nothing by halftime. Make sure you tune in Saturday. I'll be making a special appearance with that number 2 and number 3 pick. And other than that, enjoy your sports weekend.
Good to hear, good to hear. Parlay Palace will not have its CEO and owner win the championship this year. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to scream collusion. But I will say this. Over in FSP and Yahoo, I'm cold kicking butt and taking names. The best trade I ever made, I now have as a starting lineup Aaron Rodgers, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Jennings, No'Shawn Moreno, Reggie Bush, George Bell. I forgot who my tight end was, but it's going to be really, really bad for a lot of people over there in Yahoo. And Jeff, my boy, I think your time is coming up real soon. So I'm just going to put it out there. But with that being said, we're in overtime. I want to get out of here real quick. So I want to thank my co-host for joining me tonight, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie. We know that Jerry's crying in his beer somewhere because his Houston Texans are getting beat like Adrian Peterson's children. So we want to make sure that we give him some love, too. We will catch you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. But check out our other programs. We've got a lot in store. Also, go to spotonradio.webs.com for most information and motivation and variety that we have. Streaming every week, 24/7, 365. Last week's programs. I'm going to try to get this one on there in a few minutes. Maybe not today, but definitely tomorrow. We'll see you guys later. It's time to get out of here.
Oh, yeah, check your emails, fellas. Check your emails.
All right, all right, all right. Email time, we go.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.